The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Yeah, dude. You can do the quick bit. We'll capillate this bitch, dude. We got this. All right, you're one end, I'm the other end. Yeah, we're gonna knock this episode out.
Jesus.
I'm recording too. Let's do it.
All right. Well, you sure you're recording? You sure?
Hey. I pressed the thingy. Yeah. So far, 16 seconds.
The thingy on the thingy.
We put the thing in the thing. All right. Anyways, hello and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. Now, there are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And to them, we say, how can you tell me the cheese is good? I don't understand. Yeah, this is good-ass cheese. All right, I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes. With me is actually Alex Cordova solo today. Hey!
Ooh, Mr. Solo on the rock. Not solo, but tag team in it. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. James is unavailable this week, but it's okay. We will strive on for now. And he'll be back when available. So, this is episode 2 of our January showdown. And we have some really good quick bits, actually, and a whole ass conference that happened, and a bunch of juicy rumors. This is a very Xbox-centric episode, just so you know ahead of time. But we got some other stuff in there. So please, Cordova, would you like to indulge in these quick bits?
Yes, I would. Because, yeah. I don't know, January started slow as fuck, and then just fucking last week and a half just boom
for real.
So speaking of dropping it, so Metal Gear Solid Delta, Snake Eater, and Silent Hill 2 are coming this year according to a PlayStation promo trailer.
Okay, right.
we'll get into it. Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty DLC, it pretty much sold 5 million copies in 2023, which is pretty good because I believe it came out in October, November.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, honestly.
So a little 3-month span there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, more recent quick bit news here. Xbox exclusive Indiana Jones game will be coming this year, 2024. And today, the gameplay dropped for it. Very interesting in it. And then I believe the title dropped too, right? What is it? Indiana Jones and the Great Circle?
Yeah, I was going to say the Circle of Doom, but no, that's not right. That's not right. All right.
Yeah,
so the Great Circle.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it while, I was waiting for Fun to set up the podcast. But, yeah, we'll get back to that, too. And then, finally, a little break right here. We'll do Smite 2 was officially announced. And then we'll hit the next, quick bits after these.
Yes, definitely. So, with our halfway quick bits here, cool. I guess that Metal Gear Solid Delta and Silent Hill 2 are coming. I mean, Silent Hill 2 is overdue. They talk about this shit forever. Just give it to us.
I'm still tripping out that they're just skipping one and just going straight to two, which I understand. It's what, Silent Hill fans are like, two is where the series really started.
Sort of Pyramid Head, the whole freaking shebang. Mm-hmm.
That's like Resident. I feel like that's like Resident Evil 2 remake starting at RE2 remake and not remaking RE1. But Konami just does what they want. Apparently. Yeah,
I mean they did remake Silent Hill 1. I think there was like a Wii version or something back in the day, but it wasn't up to snuff like GameCube fucking R remake that got ported everywhere. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm still hyped for Delta Snake Eater. My lady got me the Master Collection for Christmas.
Oh, shit.
So I'm actually just wrapping up Metal Gear Solid 2 today, actually. I plan on doing that after the podcast. And then, I can't wait to give the good old OG 3 a little replay before this thing. So I'm hyped for that.
Yeah. I would like to one day play this fucking game. It's on sale all the way up, Best Buy all the time. $40.
Yeah. And it is, it's not like it was exclusive on the Nintendo 3DS that you could have played for him, but it's all
right. That's right. So with those fucking weird-ass controls that I tried one time, and it sucks so bad.
Yeah. And then, I've been trying to get back into Cyberpunk 2077, but I don't want to spoil it, but there is a game that took my time from it also by CD Projekt Red, which I kind of want to knock out first before getting back into Cyberpunk. But yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about that Phantom Liberty DLC.
Okay,
so,
yeah, that's what I hear too. That's what I hear too. Yeah. And, of course, this Indiana Jones. So, it's developed, of course, by Machine Games, who did the Wolfenstein series and Quake back in the day. So, they're a little more, I think, intense with their FPSs. This looks a lot more adventure-y to me.
So, yeah, so that I think that was the big thing that people were surprised to today, is the fact that, like, when you think of an Indiana Jones game, next gen, you know, this current gen, I automatically thought, like, yeah, just give me a fucking, like, an Uncharted style, you know, like a third-person action-adventure game. But they went, they're going third-person, but they're also throwing in a little third-person. It reminded me a little bit when I saw the gameplay of Metroid Prime.
Yes, they kind of reminded me of that. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's a little Metroid Prime-y.
Yeah, so I hope it's good. I mean, it looked interesting. I'm interested in it. I'm going to keep my eye on it now because this is the first gameplay that dropped literally today as we're recording.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it didn't look like a cash-in, like a shoe-in, you know? Just like, oh, yeah, we're just going to slap an Indiana Jones game on a generic first-person shooter.
Definitely not. No, they're trying to honor indie, it seems like.
Yeah, and then it was confirmed as well that Troy Baker is voicing Indiana Jones, and he sounds like Harrison Ford, which is a little freaky, you know.
But I couldn't tell. I was like, oh, did they get... I know Ford sounds gruff, so I'm like, who the hell did they get for this? Because it actually doesn't sound bad at all.
Yeah, yeah, he sounds like Indiana Jones. And he was a little too overzealous, but, you know, it's the first trailer. And there was a part of it where I'm just like, all right, now he's sounding exactly like Harrison Ford, but in the wrong tone.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I mean, but they cleaned that shit up. But it is allegedly coming later this year, so keep our eye out on that
2024 game. Also, I mean, everything else from that, what do you call that thing, the developer direct, is fine. It's fine. Xbox. Like, honestly, Indiana Jones was the highlights. Avowed, I gotta say, every time I see gameplay footage of this game, I am less and less hyped. It's something about it, it's just not doing it for me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Originally, wasn't supposed to be like a fucking Skyrim slash.
Yeah, I was reading about it that it was they actually changed the art style up to distance it from the Skyrim comparisons. I mean, it still looks like it's going to play exactly like Skyrim, just with better combat. But the combat's still not good. Like, it seems kind of slow, to be honest. Like, the enemies are just, like, hovering at you. It's weird. Yeah, I don't know. It's
clunky. Clunky.
Clunky's a good word. Absolutely. Yeah. And all the other games I didn't really give a shit about. except Visions of Mana, I thought was fine. That looks really good. But it's not going to be on Game Pass. It's multi-platform, so I don't know why is it this fucking Xbox thing. But I am kind of a slut for the Mana games. So, you know what? I'll take it. Yeah.
Yep, there are some bangers out there, that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then also a little tidbit on Indiana Jones. Apparently, it is coming to Game Pass, which if it is dropping day one on Game Pass, I will definitely be downloading it.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'll fucking have the whip right next to me. I'm like, dun, 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 let's fucking go.
Yep, exactly. And then Smite 2 being announced kind of made a stir online. I didn't partake in Smite 1. This is kind of James's territory with the MOBAs. But, you know, people look hyped for it. I should say.
Yeah, I think if you're a MOBA fan, I'm sure this is fantastic news that is just completely lost on us. We could just ask James about it next time. Yeah.
So to wrap up the quick bits, we got a new PS5 DualSense controller, version 2.
Huh.
It will be dropping this year. It's just going to have longer battery life, 12 hours, instead of the normal, like, 6, which is okay, but I'm not dropping $75 for that.
Is it $5 more, or how much? Is it the same price?
Oh, no, it's probably going to be the same price, but it's just the fact that these goddamn controllers, just because there's a light on it and haptic feedback, you know, $80, so.
Yeah, exactly, $80, and, you know, I'm glad it's not 6 hours of battery life, or the fuck the original run was, I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, to me, it's not noticeable, but I'll just plug in a little USB and we're good.
Mm-hmm.
So then we also have a Final Fantasy VII Remake. I believe it's Rebirth, or did they say the original?
I think it's the OG.
Oh, okay, so the first one. So the Final Fantasy VII Remake may be making its way to Xbox. This is a little rumory, but we'll just slap it in here as news,
because
there's a high chance it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I hope Xbox people get to see it.
I would like to also play this game one day, too. I will, one day, decades later, be able to play more Metal Gear Solid and Final Fantasy at last.
And then speaking of At Last, you know, Universal is set to retire Simpsons Land at its theme park as Disney regains control of the IP. What is that, last year when they bought it? 2 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
It's kind of like delayed, right? Mm-hmm. So, but good news here, a Pokemon park is speculated to take its place.
Yeah, that's going to happen in 2028, apparently. And yeah, so that, they had to wait for the contract to run out, essentially, for Disney. Yeah.
And then also to wrap it up here, we got Ubisoft exec states that customers, quote, must get comfortable not owning their games in order for subscription services to take off, end quote.
Where's that indie whip at, dude?
Yeah.
Fuck them up right there.
Trust me, that was borderline absurd headlines. And I mean, we might even have to start, if the way 2024 is going, we might have to make a whole segment of just absurd headlines.
Yeah. Quick bits, cause... absurd news, regular ass news, some rumors. I don't know. Fuck, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is some shit. But I mean, go for it first. You got it.
I was going to say, I mean, Ubisoft, all their games are the fucking same, man. Like, you play an Assassin's Creed game and you play Far Cry, it's basically the same formula, so no wonder they want their subscription to take off, because that way they can just fucking sucker people into that shit.
Yeah, the thing is, like, it wasn't always this case, but their game design is coalescing. Like, nothing plays like Assassin's Creed Black Flag, right?
No.
Great game, kind of sits in its own. Same with, I would say, Origins, too. But as things move along, I'm starting to see, the overlap of, like, a Far Cry or Immortals. Like, you know, they kind of have the same feel. Like, the moment-to-moment feel is, it's just plotting at this point. And, I don't know. It seems like they just want to get people addicted to a feedback loop, and they don't need to sell them the game directly to do that. They can just give them the service, which...
Yeah.
And fuck off.
I was gonna say, this is exactly my point when I'm always babbling about how, like, I personally like physical media. Yeah, it's sometimes a pain in the ass to get up and actually change the game, but just the fact that once I buy that game, it's mine. I don't have to worry about these subscriptions and all this shit, and that's why I'll still talk shit on Nintendo for not allowing us to just buy the old game straight out. They make us subscribe to the fucking Nintendo Switch Online, which is fine, but still. I think a vast majority of people would rather just buy them and keep them to our accounts.
I would rather keep Golden Sun and not have to worry about paying my fucking buck every year, dude. I'm with you on that one now.
This Ubisoft guy saying this is not good news for the coming years, because, they're going to try it. They're going to try to. I know it's coming, dude. They're going to say, oh, yeah, you guys can play the next exclusive Assassin's Creed if you subscribe to our subscription.
They're gonna slow you into it. They'd be like, oh, well, then you would get this skin and this DLC and all this if you're part of the service. Well, however, they'll piecemeal it to you afterwards if not.
Yeah, I think they're going to go even further and say they're going to start doing exclusive games only for streaming, dude. I'm telling you, it's going to come.
At some point, I'm sure.
Words. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Episode 24 in 2024. It's coming.
Jesus Christ.
Someone's going to try it, dude.
Someone's going to do it. Someone's going to do it. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
And that is uncomfortable. So, nah. And then also with Disney, I think Universal and Nintendo are going to really start pairing. Because they already got the previews for Donkey Kong Land coming out, too. And now they get more space with the Simpsons stuff. Like, it's going to be... If they're picking a partner, I think Universal and Nintendo, based on their Mario movie experience, too... That's a good partnership. Let them have the fucking reign in some of these spots.
Does that mean the entire Simpsons like Springfield's gone then?
Yeah, Springfield's gone.
Not just the ride.
No, like it's everything. Gone. Yeah.
Oh shit.
I know. I'm gonna miss Moe's.
Wow. Yeah.
Moe's, the gift shop, Springfield Land's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're gonna like reshuffle down the lower lot and like bring some stuff from the lower lot up to just make the lower lot almost entirely all Nintendo, you know?
That'd be smart.
Yeah, to me it seems weird that you walk through a Pokemon land up there on the upper lot, and then you have to go down to the Nintendo land down. I mean, I get it, but...
Yeah. I mean, what could they reshuffle, though? Fucking Jurassic Park would be goddamn F-Zero? Or fucking...
I think they should make Jurassic World... I mean, I know they're not going to. It's a big moneymaker for them. That's why they made those two shitty ones after World, but they're, like... Jurassic World, just take that, but give us the Donkey Kong barrel.
Oh, water shit, that's a good idea. That's a there. Oh, with that banging, like, fucking water music from Donkey Kong.
Dun, yep, dun, dun. Yep. And then the mummy, go ahead and take the mummy out and replace that with the Luigi's Mansion's fucking motion simulator ride or something.
Ah, dude, that's F-Zero. That's Captain Falcon shit right there. Keep the same mechanics, everything.
I like Transformers that ride, but don't take that out. But yeah, that would be the Luigi's Mansion ride.
That'd be Luigi's for sure. Absolutely. Oh my god. No, but then that also Horror Nights is around there, and that's troubling for children to enjoy the Nintendo Land a bit. Oh, by the way, there's murder on the other side of this. So yeah. They got some thinking to do, but yeah, as far as we know, in 2028, no more Simpsons Land. It's probably gonna take a little bit to replace it, so it's gonna be a weird time for Universal.
Oh. Yep. I'm gonna just drop something hot right now. A hot take. Mm. They're gonna rename Simpsons. Oh, I'm sorry. They're gonna rename Springfield to Family Land, and it's gonna be nothing but Fast and Furious. Boom.
Oh shit.
That's where the roller coaster's gonna be.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, with the Back to the Future ride, but with fucking Fast and Furious. Oh, that'd be good. Okay. All right. I'm with that. I can dig that. Family Land.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very misleading. Okay. All right. Those are the quick bits right there. Let's get into the hot news coming up, and then we'll just trade off since James ain't here. I'll kick it. 2023's best-selling game has alas been revealed. Now, 2023 was a year gamers will remember for a very, very, very long time. There was a ton of just absolutely great, stellar games to play throughout the entirety of last year. But with all the numbers now in, there's only one game that can be crowned the best-selling game of 2023. Was it Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom? Star Wars Jedi Survivor? Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3? Maybe Spider-Man 2? Oh, it was a goddamn Hufflepuff of the group. Hogwarts Legacy with 22 million copies. Good, 22 million copies sold across all the major platforms. Very interesting. Also a note here, it's the first time a non-Rockstar, non-Call of Duty has been in the number one spot since 2008.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and do you know what the 2008 top-selling game was?
Probably some Madden or fucking FIFA.
No, it was Rock Band.
Oh, shit, Rock Band. Okay,
yeah, Rock Band. That. A little $200 fucking setup, and then for some reason, best-selling game ever. So, Rock Band was the last one, which also beat GTA 4 that year. So that was a pretty monumental success. Yeah. But, give it up to EA for being the one to do it again. Hogwarts Legacy is a fine game. Clearly, the Potter nerds are... I know so many people who bought this game. So, all casuals, people of all walks of life. So, I own it. I'm going to probably buy it again on the Switch. So, yeah, fine.
I was going to say, I heard, just in the articles I read, I have no way to verify this because I'm not in the gaming industry, but there was one article that read, they think that the late release on the Switch pushed it into this territory.
That makes sense.
Of 22 million.
Because a lot of kids have Switches. So it'd be one of those good things. You're like, here's the fucking Harry Potter game. Shut the fuck up. I'm watching football. It's the exact time frame for it. But yeah, I can see that being the case for sure.
Shut up, damn it.
Because it did pop back on the charts around that November. When it released. So, fuck, I might get it when it gets on sale again. We'll see.
Well, I mean, I haven't played it just because of the sheer amount of fucking games that came out last...
Yeah,
but I mean, I have a backlog, and I'm gonna be constantly adding to my backlog. But yeah, I want to play it just because I've been waiting for a good sales price. I think Steam recently had on sale for 30, and I was very tempted to.
That's
get
close.
It.
Yeah, I get it for 30.
Mm. Yeah, so once I have the money and all that, I will definitely be picking it up and checking it out. I've heard nothing but good things about it. I heard it's like a little too much at times. I believe my sister or my brother-in-law told me that it's very like. They had to just be like, God damn, I can't play this game and Destiny and other games at the same time. It's like one at a time.
That's why it's hard for me to get back into it because it is a very all-encompassing game. Like, there's so much to do. It's big. So, I think is, kudos to them. So, again, with a sequel, just give me, like we said before, Wizards in the 60s. I want all the shit that comes with that, dude. I want
It's crazy. Harry Potter beat out Star Wars. Harry Potter beat out fucking the Zelda nerds.
Yep.
The Call of Duty bros. The Marvel boys at Spider-Man. They beat them all. That's crazy.
And dude, Tears of the Kingdom sold a lot too. Yeah. That shit was like 20 million by the end of the fucking... That was only 2 million away from the top. It's just insane to me.
Yeah, that's why I'm very, very strongly believing that the Nintendo, the late release on the Nintendo Switch pushed that shit over into the 22 million.
Dude. Damn, I think you're right. Yeah. Shit. Well, that's a good theory, though. That's a very, very good theory. Okay. All right.
So, speaking of Nintendo, though,
mm-hmm.
It seems like we talk about this every other couple months, but it's because there's every couple months, there's just new and new info for this shit. But Switch 2 release date and pricing.
Hey, money.
Money, money, money.
Here comes the money.
Analysts and industry insiders have weighed in on Nintendo Switch's successor, citing key details such as an iterative upgrade feature-wise, quote, expected to be, oh, I'm sorry, not quote, parentheses, expected to be a lot like the regular Switch. What does that mean?
Like, not a whole lot of updates on the features, like very small upgrades aesthetically and stuff, like iterative, yeah.
All right, my bad. A September 2024 release date, $400 entry price, and games at the industry standard $70. One analyst, I just want to say analysis.
Analrapist.
Yeah. One anal rapist.
Analrapist.
The rapist.
Yeah.
One analyst has even confirmed that the Switch Pro was in development at some point, but due to chip shortage, the company has moved straight to a full-on successor. Will we see these details confirmed soon? What are they going to call this new console? I got it. Mm. Switch more.
Oh, shit. Switch again.
No, yeah, Switch again. No, I don't think they're going to make the same mistake as they did with the Wii U.
No Switch U. No, that sounds stupid just saying that out loud. Holy shit.
Yeah, I heard someone say Super Nintendo Switch, but I don't know about that.
I heard Super Switch. That's one that I keep hearing, which I think, I don't know. Again, yeah, it'd be kind of weird. Super Switch. I don't know, like, yeah. Kind of nostalgia baiting, but if the font looks good, I don't know, we'll see. Like,
yeah, I mean, I've seen some mock-ups, too. They're probably not even anything close to the patent, but yeah, I mean, what? It just looks like a normal Switch, but with the... Wasn't there something special with the controllers that they were doing, too?
I think, from what I've been reading, and a lot of it is... They're going to try to make it as compatible with the OG Switch as possible. Okay. So it's going to be like, I guess, an 8-inch screen. So, which is pretty cool. I think the Joy-Cons are going to be a little bigger. And yeah, that's... And then obviously a big spec upgrade compared to previous.
Oh yeah, they said that it was supposed to be as powerful as PS4 too, right?
Yeah, PS4, Xbox Series S, like around there. Because I mean, the Series S has been around for like 3 years at this point, right? So
yeah.
2 years, 3 years? I cannot remember.
Yeah. So I mean, $400 seems like the sweet spot though.
Yeah, it would put it, I think, spec-wise and feature-wise in line with the Steam Deck. So, yeah. You know, I guess that makes sense. $70 games, I guess, finally, fuck. They've been teasing us with Tears of the Kingdom with this anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
Has there been one since Tears of the Kingdom that was 70? What was the other one that was 70 from Nintendo?
I can't remember. I don't remember.
Was it fucking Pikmin, was it?
Shit.
Maybe.
I don't know. Well, I don't even fucking play Pikmin. I heard the 4 is really good, though.
I mean, yeah, I think that showed up on one game of the year list that I saw last year, but Super Mario Wonder was only 60, right?
Yeah, Super Mario Wonder was pretty cheap.
Okay, alright. Just want to make sure, because I can't remember. Bought that shit on sale anyways.
Yeah. That's a good one. But yeah, I mean, we're going to find out soon, I think. If they're doing September release, we're definitely going to find out, I would say, after their fiscal year, which ends in April. So that means they're prepping for the next fiscal year, which is going to be full hands on deck. So I would say expect Summer Game Fest blowout for the Switch 2. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so that means that if it doesn't get announced in April, that means in May we're going to sell all of our belongings. We're going to buy stock on the Nintendo market, and we're going to call into that fucking investor share and ask them, where the fuck is the Switch 2? Just like that guy that called and told him about the Splatoon character.
We got to bring up the Splatoon thing again, too, because I don't think there was any resolution there. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to look into that.
All right. Well, that's again, we're going to have plenty more Switch news, obviously, leading up to the release. So stay tuned throughout the rest of 2024. But next is very... I wish James was here for this. All right, it's fine. We'll talk about it. Well, James, when you come back, you're going to have to come back, like, touch up on a couple of these. But The Last of Us Season 2 cast has been revealed. That's right. So, after month-long speculation and rumors, most of which we actually covered throughout last year on this show, HBO has officially announced the actors who will play some major new characters in The Last of Us Season Dos. The big one right off the bat is, of course, Caitlin Dever?
Yeah, I think it's Dever.
As Abby. Now, to keep things spoiler-free, we will just say that she has a huge role in the upcoming season, and I'm aware of this role. I've seen the video essays. I know. Holy shit. Yeah, she got some big, big shoes to fill. Dever is known for her role in Rosaline, Booksmart, and No One Will Save You, which I saw. Okay. Other cast members announced are Isabella Merced, live-action Dora the Explorer, as Dina, who her character looks a lot like her. So that was very interesting. Someone who will be important to Ellie this upcoming season, and Young Mazzino, Beef. From the show Beef.
As, my bad. I should have put from the shows and the live action Dora the Explorer. Dude.
Yeah.
That's literally, that was all she was known as, is the live action Dora the Explorer.
Yeah, well, she also has a very accurate look to that. Yeah, but Young Mazzino, who was in Beef as Jesse, a friend of Dina and Ellie. So the whole Mod Squad's going to be represented right here. Fuck. So. I haven't played Last of Us 2. I only know from industry analysis and some other things that unfortunately did get spoiled for me. But I know about one of these characters. But since you're the expert here, Cordova, what's your take on this show?
Well, yeah, I wanted to get into this with James. That's why I put, you know, we were going to do a little did they get it right quickie right here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like originally this girl, Caitlin Dever, was rumored to be Ellie, which, you know, she looks a lot like Ellie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't have anything against the actress that they got to play Ellie. I think she did a great job in season one. You know, people just have these expectations of the games, you know, like, oh, this person will be absolutely perfect for this role, yes. Right? And, yeah, for the most part, but there's a reason that, you know, these big fucking movie studios and show studios don't do fan casting in a way.
Mm-hmm.
They look for who's going to deliver what they want, you know, which I understand. So I'm not going to hate on this girl, the Caitlin Dever girl. I just, all I'm going to say is that she needs to get buff.
She needs to buff up. Yes.
Abby in the games is like, she's a fucking machine. Like, she's crazy as far as like just physical and, you know, physicality in the games. She's brutal.
And
you know, this girl, I don't want to take anything away from her, but she kind of looks just like an Ellie right now, so she needs to bulk up or something. But even then, I was thinking too, I'm like, you know, maybe they're not going to go the full route like that.
Yeah, maybe her menacing brutality will be conveyed in different ways.
Yeah. So you know, I like, we talked about this throughout the season, throughout the year last year. with The Last of Us season one, I should say, I'm sorry, but you know, James played it as it came out. There's parts in the story that make you really, like, feel emotion. And that's kind of the reason why I stopped playing it the first time when it came out. I believe it even came out during, right before COVID or after.
It was in the midst of COVID, yeah.
Yeah. So that's when they dropped it. And just everything going on and all this shit, I was like, you know, there's big spoiler, story beats in this, which I'm not going to talk about because they are spoilers.
Yeah.
So, but the big beats, like, when I actually sat down because I was watching the season one, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to beat this because I want to see how this story goes. Because I did never beat two, but I heard things about where the story ended up going.
Yes.
And it interested me, right? So I sat down and played it, which actually tomorrow the remastered version comes out for only $10, which I'll probably be picking up.
There you go. Just a little slightly sharper face textures right there. Let's do it.
Well, mostly for the roguelite. But yeah, I mean, I'll give it a little replay. I have like 3 or 4 replays of Last of Us 1.
Mm.
So I've only played Last of Us 2 fully in one go. But, you know, I'll probably go back and check it out again. But yeah, the Dina character is she's going to be essential. And then the Jesse character is going to be, you know, he's the actor looks exactly like the guy from Last of Us 2, Jesse. Mm-hmm. So this young Manzino guy. Yeah, he looks exactly like him. So that's, I don't see anything wrong with those two casting choices.
Okay, all right, HBO. I mean, to me, yeah, I don't know too much. I've tried as much as I can to be spoiler-free from Last of Us 2, but these motherfuckers... Because there was a whole online movement against this game, and there was a lot of, like, leaks that were, like, false. Just there's some shit. Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's part of the zeitgeist no matter what, if you're a certain level of gamer. But this casting lets me know that HBO is taking this second season very, very seriously, which is nice. If they can do what they did with season one, and then obviously it seems like they're going to split this one into two seasons. It seems like it. Cause I, you know, that's what the rumblings are in Hollywood. But if they do, you know, as long as they respect the source material as they did before, you know, Abby can look however the fuck she wants. Fine. Pedro Pascal does not look like Joel. He kind of killed it. So, you know, I'm with it.
I was even going to say, too, like, even thinking about it, it's like, I know they were going to say they're going to adapt the next season into, like, half of the game. Mm-hmm. But, like, me and James were talking about, without spoiling anything, there's parts of that game that they can reshuffle into, like a actual chronological timeline, which I think would actually help the story. Mm. So, like, the way that the game is, you know... there's something that happens in the beginning and you're kind of like jaw drop and you're like, what the fuck did I just watch? But if they flip that and make that at the end of the season and give you all the flashbacks that you play as and all that shit that takes up a good, I want to say half of the game in the first part, like if they put that in like before and then they end with the cliffhanger, like that is what I think they will do, which will explain kind of Abby's, you know, it role or storyline, right? So
yes,
that would help her, I think. And I think it would be very interesting to see if they want to do that, to see if it fixes, quote unquote, what a lot of people complained about.
That would make sense, especially since it's accommodating a narrative and not like a gameplay loop.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. And you know what? With fucking Zaslav fucking WB over there probably ordering less episodes anyway, so I would imagine it's going to be paced pretty well because they're going to have to. So, you know, we'll fucking see. Yeah.
All right. I'm hoping that it, you know, they kind of mix it up, but then at the same time they, you know, just deliver the story, because like me and James talked about, you know, the story for part 2 is just absolutely, like, wow, it makes you feel things. Video games usually don't do that, but yeah.
Makes you feel things and stuff. That's right.
A lot of things.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm with it. Well, that's our confirmed news right there. But we got a couple leaky rumors before we get to some fun stuff. So, in terms of the leaky rumor mill, did I read Last of Us? Oh, that's all you. No, tell us this one. That's you.
All right, my bad. So, Xbox going third party? Question mark. So, is Microsoft putting first party games on rival consoles? Major Xbox titles like Hi-Fi Rush and Sea of Thieves have been rated for both Switch and PlayStation 5. So will other titles follow, or is this Microsoft's way of addressing their multi-platform release promise from their recent Activision lawsuit? Is this a sign of Game Pass coming to the other consoles? Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z.
That's right. Shh, shh, shh. Oh, Todd Howard, you motherfucker. Oh, that'd be Phil Spencer, actually. I'm torn on this one. I don't know. Because I can see it being a legal thing, too. I can definitely see that. But I don't know.
Legal in what way? From Microsoft or from other...
From Microsoft, they were promising, I think it was like some Bethesda game or some specific title... Yeah. Okay. Or a specific game creator, they're like, oh no, their game will totally show up on the other platform. That was something that came out from the things. But if you know, Hi-Fi Rush would be their Bethesda game, and then Sea of Thieves is obviously Microsoft. But at the same time, though, too, I can kind of see them just keeping the Xbox as like, hey, you want to play games? Fucking play games on it. But you can also play games anywhere else, like kind of machine, you know?
So yes, and one of these other it kind of ties into this as well, is that I believe we may have talked about it in a rumor last year. Two is the fact that there was rumors that Microsoft was going to release like a Game Pass app
for
the Switch, or I mean, they already have one on PC, but it was going to be, I don't know if they were going to do it on PlayStation either, but yeah, that was talk too, which if they were going to do that, that would be crazy. Like, unheard of.
But it would cannibalize their competition too, though, on those platforms, which I think is why we were just like, will that work or will it not?
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, though, because they're still going to get the money, because to use that, you're going to have to buy Game Pass, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. that's straight Microsoft money. All they're doing is kind of like cutting out their middleman of the Xbox, you know, their console. But they're still going to be getting the money for the games. But then on top of that, how, if you have a Switch and you have a Game Pass subscription and you really like that game, doesn't that defeat the purpose of buying it then?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's so weird, though. But I think that's a lot more complicated and kind of convoluted than Microsoft's actually going to do.
Yeah.
To me, what Game Pass has been really good about is playing a game on Game Pass, liking it, and me like buying it on the Switch. And or me, you know, going out of my way to make sure I keep the game. Yeah. And I think they're using that kind of feedback loop to give people just other ways of buying the game if they're gonna go this route, which I still don't know. Yeah. But I think, you know what? I can see a future where Microsoft keeps the Xbox as a boutique, not quite PC, but plays good level games on it, and then lets their games live on everywhere they possibly can sell them, and then makes money that way. I can see that being the case for sure.
And then to play the opposite side, right? This could be a bad sign that Microsoft is going to go full third-party software and just not do hardware anymore, right?
Yeah, that could be it too. That could be very, very, very true.
To jump to the extreme?
Exactly. Except, I mean, despite them clearly being behind PlayStation, Xbox Series consoles are still their best, fastest-selling consoles. So they're clearly still good money makers for Microsoft. But Microsoft, based off those leaks, remember, they want to dominate. Yeah. You know, this seems more like a waving the fucking white flag move than it seems like a let's expand and let's dominate move. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. It's not like these games are fucking Halo either, because I heard good things about Hi-Fi Rush, right? Didn't you play it?
It's a great game. Yeah, yeah. I love that game.
So, you know, putting other games out there isn't necessarily bad, but, you know, Sea of Thieves, that's not really a fucking system seller, so... Yeah, it's not like they're going to be putting Halo on a Nintendo Switch.
But Sea of Thieves, if you look at the numbers, steadily has a ton of... It's a silent hit. It has a lot of players. So expanding the player base for something you can live service people out of, that's probably their goal with the Sea of Thieves expansion right there. So I think they're going to be selective about how they do this. Like, there's no way they're going to be Minecraft is exclusive on Xbox. They never do something like that, right?
Yeah.
But I think they're opening up what games they can see... be elsewhere, but they're gonna keep the big dogs, probably like Halo or fucking Starfield or whatever the fuck Bethesda's gonna cook. Indiana Jones, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So yeah, if you get a chance to play Hi-Fi Rush, I say go for it.
No, I mean I have it downloaded on my Xbox from Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I honestly use Game Pass to like test the games, and if I like it and I can find it on sale, I will get it on Xbox. So
yeah, same here. That's how I do it too.
yep. Like Liza P, like dude, that game is like totally, you know, the next closest thing we have to a good Bloodborne game. Mm-hmm. So I'm waiting for it to hit 30, and then I'm gonna fucking
we'll just buy go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, then that's how they get me too. I have so many games that I played on Game Pass now that I have my Switch. Like, I totally actually have that. Or like, I wanted to play it portable. So,
yeah.
All right, Mike, your model works, Microsoft. I pay X amount of money to have basically demos every fucking... but hey, the Microsoft train keeps going. This is a fun one. Gears Collection in the works, ? What? So, according to insiders, a new Gears of War collection is in the final testing phases and is anticipating a 2024 release. It is modeled after the Master Chief Collection in terms of modes, features, and graphical updates, actually. It will reportedly be titled Gears of War, the Marcus Fenix Collection. It is apparently developed in the Unreal Engine 5, and from what I've seen a lot of reports, it can just drop at any moment. It's like that finished at this point. They're really just testing this shit, and I hope they shadow drop it. I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gears, back in the 360 days, Gears was the game that we all played together as well, dude. Like, Horde mode, multiplayer mode was fun. I mean...
That's drunk early 20s time right there, man.
Yeah, like, it was mm-hmm. Halo and Gears of War, dude. Like, that mm-hmm. was... Oh, man, like, I still play that shit. Like, just boot it up on Horde mode every once in a while. I'll play with, like, Nate fucking... And, like, he's like, what is this? And it's like, you know, I'm like, oh, dude, like every game back in the fucking 2010s or the 2012s, like, used to have a horde mode.
Yes. Like, yeah, absolutely. In some way,
shape, or form, man. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, like, yeah, just.
And they was good.
Yep. I really hope that this is true and they do drop it, because this is definitely, I don't care if it's a full price, I will buy it if it includes all three. Oh, I guess if they throw in fucking Judgment, I won't really care. But yeah, 1, 2, and 3 with updated graphics or, like, you know.
I mean, if they're going to do the Master Chief Collection thing where you just toggle it and you're like, oh, that's Unreal Engine 5? Like, I'm down. I'm with that. That's because that would look amazing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, nothing against 4 and 5, but yeah. I mean, if they just, like, tightened up that gameplay on 5 a little bit, I think it would have been more talked about. But, you know, we've talked about it a lot where, like, a game like God of War transforms the gameplay.
Yeah.
Totally changes it, right? It reinvents itself. Gears of War hasn't done that, and the most innovative thing they done was in Gears 5 when they tried to go, like, semi-open world.
And, yeah.
It just didn't work, dude. Like,
It's like reaching. It's not, it doesn't, so it's like an organic change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
1, 2, 3 are stone cold classics. Like, they truly are.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, man, Judgment fucking hated that game, though. I really did. I really didn't like that one. So, please don't include it. But, yeah, 1, 2, and 3, if they give me the Master Chief variation of this, and it make that do with the multiplayer, too. Oh, yeah. Make sure the multiplayer is just as good as it was. I'm with it. I'm totally with it. So.
If they do what Master Chief Collection did with multiplayer and horde mode and include every single mode and every single map and just let you matchmake them and, like, just jump into a fucking... Yeah, dude.
Like, I'm doing the Vince McMahon gif right now as you're saying that. So I'm just like, I'm just fucking just in the air, just like, oh!
and to harp on Judgment, too, I remember, I think when I bought my Xbox One... I think the X, I don't know, the big black one, dude, whatever that one was.
Yeah.
Was it? Xbox One, right?
Yeah.
Or Xbox One X.
Xbox One X, 4K one.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. So when I bought that one, it came with the Gears of War 4, and then the Gears of War 4 came with all the other Gears of War games up until that, right? It was like a crazy deal.
That's a bundle.
Right? So I remember I opened the code, and I download Gears of War 4, and I download 1, I download 2, I download 3, and then it even came with Judgment, and even for free, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to download that game.
I need space. I need space on this fucking hard drive. Nah.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, if I'm really bored, I'll re-download it later. But
Man.
Oh. I really hope that's true because, I mean, maybe, like, that might even be a system seller for them. Not a huge money mover or anything, but, like, hey, dude, people love Gears of War.
It'd put them back in discussion.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. I'm with it. All right, well.
So.
Microstar Train keeps going. Let's do it. Come on, one more. We got one more.
Another Microsoft one. All right. So there was a big leaky rumor that the next Halo game was being worked on, and it's canceled.
Oh, bitch.
So it recently surfaced that 343 Industries may have been working on a new top secret Halo game since 2022.
Eee.
Halo Infinite released in 2021. So that's what, like, caught everyone's eye, mm-hmm. is the fact that this one former 343 developer, his LinkedIn profile dropped a hint that he was working on a Halo game from 2022 to 2023. So, it didn't say Halo Infinite, mm-hmm. again, because Halo Infinite already launched. It just said Halo game. So,
okay.
But, however, this may be just futile information, since it is also rumored that whatever this game was is canceled as well. So, we don't know if this was the Halo Battle Royale that's been asked for since, I think, the inception of Fortnite.
Mm.
Or if this was Halo Infinite 2 or just another offshoot, which I don't think they have the balls to give us a ODST-style game, unfortunately. Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a fucking Battle Royale. I'm pretty confident it was a Battle Royale. So, to me, and this is like the most Microsoft thing... it would be, they tried to jump on the train and they had probably a pretty good battle royale, I would imagine, with the Halo mechanics. To me, it would be fantastic, I'm sure. But they didn't have the goodwill from Infinite to ride that to success. And most battle royales, I think around the time frame of this being developed, started failing. if you weren't Fortnite or if you weren't PUBG. And even then, Fortnite, he started expanding into other genres as well. And I'm sure insiders knew this was going to happen. So this, to me, seems like a Microsoft cut your losses situation, which is good because it probably put a lot more resources to a very suddenly increased content Halo Infinite.
Yeah.
Because that thing pumped back up quick out of nowhere, which probably means those developers got shuffled over and made it happen, if I would imagine.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I was looking at it as the fact that, like, by the time Microsoft had a somewhat playable Battle Royale game, the Battle Royale craze was already over in a way, right? Because how many new Battle Royales have tried to come out and compete with Warzone or Fortnite, right?
Yeah.
Ubisoft had one. That shit was dead. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it was. I fucking even forgot what it was called, dude. But, like, Hyperscape, I think it was called.
Yeah, and Capcom tried to do one too, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Capcom tried, and then Apex Legends is still there, but, like, I think from what I've seen, Apex Legends is just straight, like, monetized to hell, where it's not even, like, if you're a cosmetic whore, you're dropping mad money in that game. If you're not, the gameplay's still there. But, yeah, you know, everyone wants the cool-looking stuff in there. But to get it, you need to drop money. So, yeah, I think they just cut their losses, like you said, which is kind of unfortunate. But also, I'm not really too mad at it because Halo Infinite has seen a big resurgence in the past, what, like half a year, 6 months?
I'd say 6 months. Past six months, this game has been so much better than I thought it ever actually could have been. So, and we'll talk about it coming up. Don't worry.
Yeah. And there's people out there that actually, with the Forge mode release, have made their own battle royales in there. And I've tried a few of them. They're actually playable and fun. The only only knock I have against them, which isn't against the people who made them, because they're, you know, like I said, people are doing these in the game.
Yeah.
Is the fact that it's not a true battle royale. So, like, the whole spectating and all that stuff is still, it's rough, but again, these people made an entirely working battle royale game within the limitations of Forge, and it's playable. So, like, if you want that Halo Infinite battle royale mode, it's in there. Just go look for it in custom games. I think it's called I had it on the tip of my tongue. It's made by the guys at Forge Falcons, I believe.
Okay. So,
yeah, I mean, if you look up their Twitter or whatever, just look them up, dude, and they always talk about that mode, and they're constantly fucking updating it, so it's cool. I liked it.
God, yeah, it's so good. So little baby battle royale, I'll take it.
It wasn't like 100 players or anything. It was only like 24, but still, the map was suited for that. That's what was so cool, is that they made an exclusive map for it, and, like, you know, you just drop into a big arena and there's 24 people fucking fighting each other.
Jeez. So. Hey, listen, hey, if you're out there and you got an Xbox and you want to play, just let us know. DM, just be like, hey, let's kill some grunts or something. Like, I'm more than willing to down to check this out. God, those mechanics are so good in that game, but speaking of not good Halo.
Speaking of not good, we're gonna mix it up this week and kind of hit you guys with the absurd headline before we get to the, you know, the good stuff of what are we playing and winning and all that. So Fwen, you want to take this one?
Fine. Master Chief's Pablo Schreiber is stirring up some Halo fans regarding the controversial helmet talk right before the new season of the Talk Shit Halo TV show, which drops early February in a couple weeks. Quote, you're not going to be able to bring an audience along in a long-form story without having access to a character's face, which tells you what they're feeling, how they think about everything. That access to a character's emotional life over the course of time is what makes you empathize and connect with a character. End quote.
So there was another part of that quote that I didn't put in here just because I didn't want to, like, make two fucking paragraphs. But he's just kind of saying, like, yeah, sorry, I know I'm not going to please everyone, but, like, this is the story. This is the story form that we chose and we decided. This shows that he's never played the games, because Halo 4, I think it was 4, like, shows, and even Infinite, dude, like, Infinite has character moments with Master Chief of him just feeling like he can't win, and you can tell through body language, through voice, like, how much he's tired of fighting. And, like, I know it sounds kind of cliche or whatever, but, like, that's how you act.
Yeah.
I know he's a fucking video game character, but like, dude, like, there are ways to convey these
Pedro
emotions.
Pascal did it. All right, as the Mando. Exactly. He's only had to take his helmet off a couple times. And, you know, we all wanted to, because we knew it was Pedro. We didn't know who the fuck you are, fucking Pablo. So we're not like, ah, holy shit, it's the famous guy that's playing Master Chief. It's just some guy. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything against the guy, but it's like, dude, like, man, I don't know. I just don't understand how anyone at 343 or Microsoft thought it was a good idea to say, you know what, guys, let's flip what we normally do and let's show his face right away. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing the reveal, because a lot of people were saying like, dude, we wouldn't have a problem with this shit if they would have did the slow buildup, you know?
Yes. Like, not like episode two or whenever it happened, whatever
exactly.
It was.
Yeah, exactly. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone was like, what the fuck? This isn't Master Chief. And
Master Cheeks.
Master Cheeks. Cause homeboy, like, not is only without his helmet. Homeboy's without his armor. He's butt naked in season one, like cutting out his fucking implant, which I thought was stupid because I've read the books and shit like that. And those implants are supposed to be that's what makes a Spartan, like.
Yeah. But I mean, like, OK, so I think that's why in other news that I've heard, too, is that the showrunners for season one got fucking axed anyways. So,
yeah,
to me, that goes to show that I think what happened here is Microsoft put a lot of faith into somebody who had a very strong vision for a Halo series. Yep. And they're like, yeah, do what you want to do. Paramount was like, we don't know this shit, but, you know, you seem to have a good idea for a story. And then they went too auteur. They went too, like, no, this is my story, not this is your story, the fan story, which is the worst thing you can do when you're adapting something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think hopefully these new showrunners have respect for the source material, which it seems like they do.
I mean, the trailers have been dropping and it looks action-packed, and big spoiler alert, people, it's covering the fall of Reach, which is
great story.
Yeah, it's a great story in the game. Halo Reach, the game, is like the swan song of the Halo series.
Give me Noble Team, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Give me like Noble Team.
that story and the ending to that game is like still fucking talked about over a decade later.
Like, God, what a good campaign, too.
2009, 2010, dude. Like, yeah, that ending to the campaign is just, woof, like, chef's kiss, right?
Also, so Bungie's last Xbox game, so they went hard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep, they went all out. I mean, it's an awesome game. Me and my son replay it every now and again. The campaign is just fantastic. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to check it out, but again, it's not going to be at the top of my to-do list just because of how horrible season one was, like, you know, 80 what is it, 80 90 no, I'm sorry, they're like an hour episodes and there was like 8 to 9 episodes, maybe 7 8, so basically there's about 8 fucking 80 hours, right?
Yeah.
No, 8 hours.
8 hours, 80. No, yeah, not I'm 80 sorry. Yet.
Yeah, jeez. My bad. There's 8-9 hours of storytelling there, right? Way more than a movie. And I want to say in that entire 8-9 hours, like, maybe fucking 45 minutes of it felt like Halo.
No,
not a good ratio.
I'll watch a video summary and then check out season 2. That's how I'm going to do it. So,
yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I think this is absurd just because the homeboy, you know, Mandalorian, like we've talked about, you know, Pedro and all that shit. You see the emotion. And then also I wanted to bring it up, too, because someone made a good point that I wanted to share with you, Fwen, because you know how we're big ODST fans.
Yeah.
Someone said, what if they made the show, or I'm sorry, they should have made the show with Spartans as these mythological fucking heroes, like untouchable, so the show is going to be through the eyes of an ODST hell trooper.
That'd be a good show.
Like, you show the Covenant, like, at their, you know, at their peak, right? The Covenant is absolutely just, you guys are ODST, you're supposed to be the best of the best, and then here comes Spartans to save the day, and you're, like, kind of kept in the dark about them, and they're like, dude, give me a show, give me a fucking eight-episode season on that.
I like that.
Exactly, right? Like, give us an ODST trooper trying to find out about how he can join the Spartans, and then he finds out that Spartans aren't, like, it's not a recruitment, they're just made, and they just come and fuck up everything.
Yeah, and,
oh, dude,
again, I'm doing the Vizcan Man thing again. Doing it again. Damn. No, it's just, it's okay. This is all wishful thinking. It's too late.
Yeah, it's too late. Now, but dude.
Let's just hope they turn it around, because I don't even want to think about how much better of a story that is.
Well, fuck, man. I'm about to go replay Halo 3 ODST just because of that.
I did this year, actually. It was fucking awesome still. Yep. Still a great game. It's good being underpowered and it's brutes, like, can fuck you up. Like, it feels different, but it still feels Halo, which is this show is not. So, season 2. We'll see. Let's just go ahead and wrap it up with what we're playing and a couple wins and fails, whatever the fuck. You know how it goes. So we'll just wrap it up here. What am I playing? I actually just in the time from our last episode, I played quite a bit. I don't know how I found the time for some of this, but shortly after our last episode, I finished Proteus, which I was gushing about last episode. The Doom clone, yep. Fucking amazing game. Man, did I not know that was the last level though. I was like, what? I was like, it's done? Oh, I was so pissed. Cause
is it a short one or what?
It was a short last level. It was definitely intense. It was a lot. But obviously I wasn't paying attention to the story. So narratively, I guess it makes sense. But also you can tell Proteus is more of a hub. So you can download people's own campaigns. It's meant to be an ongoing thing. And they have DLC coming out, which I can tell based on the aesthetics of the last levels wraps up that whole thread. So yeah, I still think it's an amazing game that everyone should play. But yeah, it's going to end before you realize it's over. You're going to, like, to me, like, they could have had, it could have, maybe twice as long. I don't know. It wasn't even short. It's just I wanted more. Like an asshole. So yeah, there's a lot of potential there for more Proteus. And then Mario RPG, every week I just play a section and leave it alone for like another week. Like I just do like a solid hour and a half stretch and then I just shelve it. Mario RPG is a great game, but it is... I'm realizing perfectly designed for portable play.
Well, I was going to say, I heard it was short and I don't remember it being short, but
no. Yeah. Same. I thought it was like 15 hours or so.
Yeah. I thought it was like a 20 to 25 hour RPG. I don't remember it being short, but people were saying that it's actually short, but
it's actually not that long. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's probably because of the portability of it though. Right. I mean,
yeah. Yeah,
playing in bed and you're not stuck in front of a fucking TV playing it.
Yeah, and then you're exactly, and it definitely has sections in world, so you're like, oh, I know exactly where this is going. So I know I'm pretty deep into it, but yeah, just section by section playing the game. It has a lot of charm. Do a couple battles. It's a good unwinding game, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know what really surprised me though is I downloaded Fallout 76 again after our last episode. Shit. Yeah. So I was
downloaded on.
Xbox fucking S, Series S.
Oh, shit. I might have to download it on there, too.
Dude, okay. So I was walking. I remember that my character's level 20-something, so I actually had some good fucking gear.
Okay.
My dude looks like a straight-up just, like, lone wanderer, you know, trench coat, fucking cowboy hat, the whole shit. I'm walking. I'm trying to get from point A to point B. Run into this. Oh, look, it's a hotel. This is the most chaotic fucking gun battle I've had just by myself. Just... I was crazy. I was like, holy shit, these people are after me right now. I took them all out. It was great. Then I ran into a bunch of players trying to take out the Mothman, which is 10 levels higher than me. And I was like, holy fuck, I'm not ready for this. And I ran into a park with a bunch of robots. And then they started flaming me. And then I took them out with the shotgun. And then I sat in a park. And then I realized, I'm like, fuck, I'm having fun.
In Fallout 76?
That was like, it was such a revelation. I'm like, holy shit, this is, that was great. I just did the thing in Fallout where I go from one point to another and I just see what's around. And it was a really good time. I'm going to keep playing it. I must say, that map is great. That's a really good, so I looked it up. It's just as big as Skyrim. It's actually a little bigger. Wow. It's a little bigger than Skyrim. Yeah, and you can tell. Like, it's a lot of fucking map. So, yeah.
I might have to give that I forgot what... I don't know if I left off my character on PlayStation or Xbox. Like, I could have swore I was in the 20s, though. But, yeah, I mean, I'll probably download it. It's on Game Pass, right?
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. Check it out. Yeah. It ran fine. Like, honestly, it was... I'm going to do some side work and rock it again tonight.
I was like, actually, you know what? I don't even think I need it for Game Pass, because I believe I bought that shit for, like, only $5 on sale when they were doing, the whole... fucking shitting on the game, you know, like,
yeah,
when it was broken
they're trying to hand it out to you,
yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think I saw it at Best Buy for like $5 and I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah.
So
I do it. Fact, it's
yeah,
actually
re-download it.
It's definitely improved a lot too. Like it's much smoother. So I'm with it. And then last game I've been playing, Halo Infinite. Like we just talked above, Firefight's great. Mechanics feel solid. I am really happy with how this game turned out. And yeah. I don't know. Halo Infinite, you are the comeback story of this generation so far. Let's see where else it can go. So, yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
what about you?
I was going to say, I still play the Firefight.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, it came out in, November, December or some shit. I'm still playing it. So
mm-hmm.
You're not going to touch on that other one right there?
Oh, yeah, I was playing Dying Light also because I was trying to dick around and have, an open-world game on the Switch. I didn't feel like playing Zelda because I'd just get fucking lost in there.
Yeah.
Dying Light's great. It's the best Switch port I've seen for any next-gen game. It runs so goddamn smooth.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a little scary. So when, it turns nighttime and shit, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put this down and I'm going to watch TV now or play Mario RPG because it is not an easy game.
Yeah,
it's not easy.
It's one of those games that that's the thing on the Switch and I've come to find out on the Steam Deck too, is that there's games you can play in the background
mm-hmm.
while you watch a show or while you have a show in the background. And then there's games you can't do that with. Right. And Dying Light. Yeah. I don't think you can do that as watch a show and play a game, right? That's Dying Light isn't that game.
Dying Light I can play exactly. I can actually play it portably and listen to a podcast. I can do that. Yeah. But I can't the attention you need for that game. But dude, such a good Switch port. Like it really is. And the same like Mario RPG. Play for an hour, put it down, whatever. You're good.
Yeah.
So those are my games. Yeah, I played so much fucking games. Jesus Christ. Like, you take over. Do your thing. What you got?
Alright. So mine I mentioned earlier that I was going to get back into Cyberpunk, but also before I got into Cyberpunk, I don't even know why I did it, but I think I I was just fucking around on my Steam Deck and I was like, one of my bigger games on there is Witcher 3. So what I did is did a little tweaking on that bad boy with the settings and, it's a mini PC. So I was able to mess with the settings and kind of see what I can get to get a solid 40 FPS playing, just because I wanted to see what it felt on, 40 on a smaller screen is borderline 60. So I was messing around, and next thing you know, I'm 2 hours into it, and I'm like, fuck, why did I stop playing this game?
Yeah.
And then, so I'm playing it, and then I find out, I'm like, oh shit, it is cross progression. So I ended up playing it on the Xbox with my save.
Oh shit.
But then I'm like, wait, why am I playing it on the Xbox when I could play it on my PC? And, excuse me, with no mods, and I'm like, well, let me just do that so that I can literally stop playing on my Steam Deck, play on my fucking PC, which is more powerful, and then pick it back up on my Steam Deck when I want to go to bed. And that's exactly what I've been doing. So
that's energy, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I have the dock for the Steam Deck, but it looks fine on a TV, but just, I think I can push ultra shit, ultra graphics, ultra lighting, all that shit on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to play it there.
Yeah. Because
the only caveat that I was upset about with cross progression, and call me, a fucking entitled little trophy hunt, achievement whore, but the achievements are not cross progression. So
that means
I unlock something on my Steam Deck, I get the Steam achievement, but when I go to my Xbox, that achievement is still not unlocked. So for a story game like that, that defeats the purpose for me, at least. You mm-hmm. know, I would just be like, ew.
So gross.
Yeah, so that's actually why I decided to download it on my PC, so I can keep that synergy going, like you said. So yeah, I'm back on The Witcher 3. I don't even know why I stopped playing that game, but
it's a good game. I agree.
Yeah I was on that, and then I'm back on Arkham City still. I'm not sure if I talked about this last episode, but
yeah, you had just finished the other
Asylum
one.
Right.
Yeah
so I beat Asylum, 60 FPS on the Steam Deck. Fucking again, something that I wanted to mess around with, and then I ended up getting sucked in just to beat it. So I'm on a full Arkham fucking quadology, or what is it, whatever it's called.
Oh shit, so you're gonna do the what was it, like, so Black Gator? I can't remember the one. When it was
Origins. Yeah, so I and that's the whole, honestly, that's the whole reason I restarted these games, is because Origins to me is stuck on the PS3, which is only fucking 30 FPS. I remember it chugged along, right?
Yeah,
I read and I've seen gameplay where people are downloading it on the Steam Deck, and that shit is a crispy 60 FPS. And
that's a Christmas game too.
Oof. Oh yeah, exactly, right? So with everything maxed out, it's 60 on a handheld, and I'm like, oh dude, I want to play this again. Just like, I know it's like the black sheep of the Arkham family, but like I remember liking it. I enjoyed it. So
it to me it's the underdog for sure. Yeah.
So I'm getting to that. Arkham Knight I probably won't play on my Steam Deck just because I heard that it is, I mean, it is a 2015 game, but dude, that thing is a graphical like it looks like a fucking 2020 game. Like it does not look like it's from 2015.
Absolutely. No, it looks next gen as fuck, to be honest with you.
So, so Arkham Knight I'll probably play on the big screen on my PC. And that's probably gonna be the last one. But yeah, I'm on a full Arkham fucking series replay.
Damn.
And then Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I started playing that with my daughter. She got it for Christmas, and you know, a couple weeks ago, we were just sitting here, and she's like, I'm bored. And I'm like, oh, crap, you know what? We didn't even play your game yet. So me and her were playing it. I think we got to, like, the second area or whatever, the desert area.
Oh, nice, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like you talked about, too, that shit is trippy. The flowers freak me out, man. I don't know.
You never know what you're going to get. You never know. I'm like, fuck, what the hell? Are those rockets? What the fuck happened to these flowers?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I was fucking flipping out when the piranha plant started walking towards us. I was like, oh god.
Oh no. Yeah, and they start singing at you.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck. Definitely those developers were on acid when they did that shit. They had to have been,
seriously. And no way. Yeah. And then on that though, isn't the platforming just really solid though for some reason on that shit?
Yeah, it feels a lot more intuitive and solid compared to the new Super Mario Brothers
Deluxe,
right?
Yeah
I enjoy it. It doesn't feel like the other one, right? It doesn't feel like that Wii U version of Super Mario Brothers.
Even thinking about it, it's kind of gross, to be honest with you.
It's not floaty, but it is responsive, and I like it. I mean, I don't want to play without my daughter because we're, you know, in the same area and stuff, so I'm just gonna, you know, when she comes over this weekend, I'll be playing it with her still.
There you go. That's a good family game.
Yeah, I might
That's
even put it on the projector and play it, me and her, boom, bam.
Yeah, shit. So. Good soundtrack, too. Again, it's a good experience. Yeah,
I'll say that. The only thing I will say is that I do not like that fucking flower that pops up and...
that
just talks shit like, come on, you can do it, or something. Yeah. I'm like, hey, fuck you, bud.
Yeah, he's just, his voice is fucking not great, too. Yeah, I mean, I kind of like him, but he's also like kind of douchey.
I was trying to, like, his voice reminds me of something, and I can't put my finger on it, but I'm going to, next episode, I'll come back and find it, dude. I just can't remember if it was like a Chuck E. Cheese shit or...
It kind of reminds like a Woodland Critter Christmas South Park kind of thing. Yeah. You know, like the Cartoon Wars or whatever. I don't know. Something about him. Like, if he said some dark shit, I would never put it past him. Like, I'm like, oh. Like, you're all gonna die if you don't make this jump. Like, fuck.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he does give that too.
Yeah. Well, shit. All right. Well, I didn't write these down, but I have my shit. So we'll just top it off with a quick win of the month. Since we are towards, I guess, the end of the month, and our next episode, I don't think, is until April or February. April, Jesus Christ. I keep saying that shit. February next week. No, 2 weeks. So, yeah. I'm actually going to go ahead and say my win of the month, and I thought about this. It's kind of weird. I'm going to give it to Xbox. Microsoft, you know, you're direct. Even though I was only interested in some of those games, I am seeing some promise. I started seeing some promise in Halo. I looked at my Game Pass. I was playing Cloud. Works fine. I'm not going to cancel the Game Pass. I think it's good enough. You know what? You're slowly turning me around. And if this gear shit happens to make its way to, you know, reality, and if I can play some more Xbox games on my Switch, and if Halo Season 2 is good, I'll tell you what. You know, you guys are on the right path. So I'm gonna give it to you, Xbox. You were my win of the month. Keep up the good work. I don't care about your fucking strategy game, and Avowed looks like shit, but everything else is fine. So yeah,
it's fine. Fine. So mine actually is kind of from left field, but I just want to give props because I was gonna put it as a news article, but I figured that we don't really talk about too much about this.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we always hear about developers and publishers shutting servers down, right? Shutting fan creations down. I mean, Nintendo's notorious for that shit.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But there was a news article, I believe, earlier this month that said a fan server, right?
Yeah.
That was being kept alive after the official developer took the server offline. The fan server was actually officially licensed by the developer of the old, decade-old MMO called City of Heroes. So the developer actually gave this server, like, the license to the game.
That's so cool.
So that they can keep playing officially and have more, like, resources to keep it alive, right? So
yeah, all right.
Yeah, I had this like written out as a news article, and I was like, you know, I mean, it's cool, but you know, I think it's just more of a win than a news article. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the fucking developer's name, but yeah, they straight up they issued a statement and said we're happy to give this fan server. And it just feels so weird to say like fan server because it's not like a company or entity. It's just literally a forum of people that kept this shit alive. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but you know, they gave that server the official license and said, here, it's your guys is now basically. So
that's so cool. Hey, yeah, all right. Here's some good news.
Yeah. So that's crazy. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's MMO. So it's a niche, but still, you know, if they do that, maybe some other old games have a fucking hope of being revived and given the license to, you know?
So yeah, let people enjoy their little time, you know, and if everybody loses their interest, that just dies, that should have died anyways. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'm with that. All right, cool. And then, fuck, for the fail. So this is kind of a win fail, actually. And again, I didn't write it down, but I played the Prince of Persia demo, the new one, the Metroidvania.
It's I've been meaning to download that.
Fucking phenomenal. Like, yeah, it's really really good. I might pay full price if it wasn't for me knowing Ubisoft what do you call discounts the games. But that also brings me to my point here. This is my Ubisoft fail. These great games, nobody buys them right away because their sales model always makes us not like wait. Like if you're not an Assassin's Creed or a Far Cry, whatever it is that can survive this and, you know, have your rabid fan base, like these smaller games tend to lose it. So I'm keeping my eye on this because I guess this happened with the Mario Rabbids second game. Like it thought it was a flop until this year. Its second year, it made so much more money and it did so well because the Ubisoft discount cycle. Now, I like me some discounts, but Ubisoft, maybe let some of these games have some time to build a base. Like, I think they really kind of fucked these smaller games that are really, really good. Prince of Persia plays like butter, dude.
I thought it got released at a discount as well.
No? It's 50 like, bucks, 50 bucks.
Okay, 50. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I feel like, I mean, I get it, the whole discounting and shit for because they're, you know, they want to make money. But if you were to release a game at 40, like, why not? Like, I'm sure people, a new release game at 40 and it's getting stellar reviews like this Prince of Persia.
Oh, my God, dude.
People would buy it.
I would have bought it. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think 40 would be the absolute sweet spot. You're fucking hitting 5 out of 5s, fucking 10 out of 10s or, you know, 9 out of 10s. You're going to have buzz because people are going to be like, holy shit, this thing only costs 40 bucks. Like,
No, I'm telling you, again, so my fail is just Ubisoft's release model because I think it harms their smaller games, which are actually really fucking good, and only helps their blockbusters, which we're so used to. So,
yeah,
but Prince of Persia, though, that's another win, actually. That's a great demo. Really impressed. Very impressed.
You download it on the Switch?
Yeah, very impressed. Okay. Definitely try it out.
I wanted to try it on the Switch just to see what it felt like, too, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my fail, though, is it's going to be a little 180 from yours, your win there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I didn't put this in my wins.
So the Xbox, with all their struggles, are releasing more appliances. Yeah, appliances, people.
I gotta look this up.
Look it up. Go ahead, a little Xbox logo pops up on your little
poster. Oh, that's great.
So, so yeah, originally, though, they had the Xbox Series X fridge, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was a little hot item until, yeah, it just wasn't, and now you can just go to a Target and see that it's just there, wasting away, just sitting. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, people bought these for like 180 bucks or something, when now I think they're on discount for like 90, half off.
I mean, so, it's a little fridge. That's it.
Yeah, I was gonna say it only holds like 4 fucking cans, anyways. So, I mean, yeah, but you know, that was last year. This year, they released a toaster for 40 bucks that would just imprint a little Xbox logo on your little piece of toast there. So,
okay. Yeah. Oh, it does. Oh, shit, it does. Oh, that's fast. I don't know. This is your fail, but I'm kind of with this.
I mean,
oh, that's so
fail,
dumb. It's so dumb, though.
A $40 fucking toaster. That's why it's my fail.
No, that's a good. That's a very good. But I'll wait till again. I'm gonna wait till this gets marked down like $20, and I'm getting this fucking toaster.
I mean, don't
this
get me
stupid
wrong.
Toaster.
I know who their target audience is. The fucking, you know, the man caves and all that shit. But still, it's just dumb.
God, this is. I know they're getting me though. Like 100% with this shit. This is so stupid.
Oh,
next
man,
year, dude,
yeah.
They're gonna do the fucking that old school the controller, the fat one, the Duke.
Oh, well,
yeah, then, watch. It's going to be a vibrator, though. It's going to be a total fucking vibrator.
Well, they did that, and then they did, like, you can buy a Lego Xbox 360 for some reason.
Okay, well, fine. Microsoft, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know why you would want a Lego game console, but again.
Give us more games. Okay.
I digress, yeah.
Yeah, and there's clearly we have an indication of some games coming out, so that's fine. About Indiana Jones, but also, yeah, wow. This is weird. I got to put this up on the fucking page. This is great.
You should.
Okay. All right. Xbox appliance post coming your guys' way next week when this drops. So, all right. That was good. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That was the NPC Gaming Podcast episode for the last half of January 2024. Feels weird to say. Mm-hmm. Be back first week of February with some good old whatever news pops in. Maybe some Switch 2 shit. I don't fucking know. We'll find out soon. But, yeah, with that, this has been a production of the Horrible People's Network, where you find a wonderful slew of shows, including the recent show that we did on Resident Evil 5, where half of us were turnt and some of us were just having a dry-ass January over there.
Hey, even with dry-ass January, dude, that shit was hectic. I was listening to it today at work, and I was like, God damn, we were wild.
We were wild. We were fucking wild, which is good, because we haven't all recorded together in a long time. So,
yeah
that we were fucking going off. Poor Phil. That Nicolas Cage thing was fun. I was like, good. Yeah. I like fucking
it was good.
So, yeah, with that, you can find me on that said episode, the Horror People's Podcast. It's HORORBLE People's Podcast. And then, of course, Cordova is on there recently, too. And we'll be doing more game episodes later on this season, at least one more. So look out
for that.
All right. Yeah, we'll do it. All right.
Yeah. So I'm just here on the npc.gaming.pod Instagram page on this channel. I was gonna say this show. So yeah,
this program.
Then, yeah, and then I always, you know, I guess guest star on their video game episodes every now and again when they have them. So yeah
that's very true. Look out for him. And then of course James is on the Turning Tables Podcast, which is also on the network, and this lovely podcast right here, which you're gonna see in 2 weeks. So adios, baby. Peace.
Late.